secures destiny. Quality decisions secures destiny. Destiny. See, every one of us has a destiny. I looked up the word destiny this morning in a dictionary, Webster Dictionary, and it says a state appointed or predetermined. State appointed or predetermined. Because God spoke to me last night, He said, you have a destiny. I said, I know, Lord. And then I started thinking, how do we know what our destiny is as believers? See, if you don't know where you're going, you won't know when you get there. You see, if you don't have destiny, you have nothing to reach for. If you don't have purpose, you're not going to go towards anything. And without, it's kind of like Teresa said this morning during Sunday school, you can't drive a parked car. You can get out, you can't even push it. To go somewhere, you've got to put it in gear and do. You got to go. See, and that's the way we are. Quality, God has a destiny. We know it throughout Scripture. I know my destiny is to be walk in divine health. Yeah. I know my destiny is not to leave here and die of sickness and disease. So, what do I got to do? I got to make some quality decisions. Quality decisions is decisions that is made not based on anything in the natural. It's based on God's word. That's a quality decision to me. Now, quality decisions can be made other way. I mean, you know, but I'm talking about, I like to have my thinking and my decisions as close in line to the word as I can get it so that I'm God-minded in it. Why? Because I want to get into the destination that God has for me. Give you a little example. God sees Moses. Here Moses is, 40 years in the wilderness. God had a destiny for Moses. Moses liked to mess it up, kill the guys, you know, and all that stuff, and run off in 40 years. And then God meets him in the desert. See, God's destiny and plan for me and you, if we will follow the Lord, it will absolutely come to pass. Absolutely. If we will follow the Lord. Went one time, as a church, and it was fixing to be altar time or altar call or whatever. And God spoke to me, and the Lord said, go let Bradley pray for you. This was, I guess, in, I don't know, 20 years ago or longer. I hadn't been saved long. Go let him pray for you. And I didn't have a reason or anything, you know, other than God said. So I walked up to Brad, and Brad looked at me, and he said, what you need? I said, I don't know. I said, God just wants you to pray for me. I said, I don't really know. He said, okay, fine. He goes to praying for me. And in just a few minutes, he breaks out in tongues. See, some people don't believe in tongues. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, a gift. I'm not talking about tongues where somebody should be interpreting. That's different tongues. I'm talking about the gift with the evidence of praying in tongues, you know. And he starts praying in it. And my Baptist mind, I'm not against Baptists, but I mean, that's where I'd come from. I've been raised, been taught that it was of the devil. I mean, they literally taught me that it was of the devil. You know, so when he started doing that, instantly, I mean, I'm like, man, why does this man have to do that? Why can't he just pray for me? You know, and I thought, no, Teresa's got him. Teresa got filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought, no, Teresa's got him. It ain't of the devil. I've been with her the whole time. There's no way the devil give her that. He wasn't there. I was. So I shut it off. I shut my thinking off. And I just quiet before the Lord, and all of a sudden he stopped. And he begins to tell me, he said, God's got a plan for you. And I already had things in my heart that I felt like I was a preacher and different things that I know good and well I didn't put there. You know, I started having desires to prosper. I mean, I have started having desires for me and Teresa to have a good life. I started having desires as I was reading the Bible. I mean, those visions come from that Bible.
Hallelujah.
Anyways, I've had all these things, and I felt like there's no way these things can happen for me and Teresa. There's just no way. You know, at that time. But anyhow, he said, God's got a plan and God's got things, and begin to just say things like that. He said, and then he stopped. He said, but all of these things are conditional. He was speaking about the Spirit of God. He said, all these things are conditional of you following the Lord.
Amen.
So it ain't no different. It ain't all of that. All of this, all of these things in the Bible, all of the dreams and desires that God puts in your heart. The Bible says, delight ourselves in the Lord. Be one with the Lord. Pray. Seek the Lord. Fast. You know, like one of my deacons used to say, he'd stand up, tight as hell. He'd stand up. Made a big impression on me. He'd say, just serve him. He'll use you. You remember him saying that? I mean, every time the man would testify, he'd say, just serve him and he'll use you. Just serve him and he'd use you. And I'd leave there and I'd be like, how do you serve him where he can use me? I mean, I didn't know how to serve the Lord. I just got saved. I'm coming to church. I am serving the Lord, just don't know it. You know, and so he was saying that. He said, these things are conditional, whether you serve the Lord or not. And that's all he said, and I went on, praise God, and that stuck with me. And I thought, well, bless God, if I'm going to have a good life, I got to serve the Lord. I got to follow Jesus. See, there's more to this Christianity thing than a bumper sticker or a Facebook page.
Yeah.
You know, all of that wasn't there when I got saved. I was fit to commit suicide when I got saved. I'd quit on my marriage. I borrowed the money to get a divorce, and we got back together and I had to pay the money I borrowed. I paid for a divorce and never got it.
Glory to God.
That's the true story. Paid for a divorce and never got it. You know, made payments on my divorce I never got. Got in the Bible, found out God hated divorce. Found out I didn't have to. Found out I could make a quality choice, which I didn't know was quality at that time. I mean, oh, it's a quality choice. When you make a choice in your life based on the Bible, that's a quality choice right there. That's a choice made that God can stamp his approval on, that God can back up. You know, Teresa, she left one time. Travis, he's 15, goes in there and packs her little bag. She's leaving me, Brad. Travis, he's 15 years old. It's been, what, he's nearly 30, so it's been a while. But this was a routine back yonder in our life before we got saved. You know, she got upset. She was upset about something. I don't know what it was. I packed her bag, and she goes out, and I'm just sitting there. And Travis, he said, ain't you going to go get her dad? I said, nah, she'll be back. Jesus said, my peace. She told me before that I'm on divorce. I said, get one. I'll never give you one. I don't believe in it. God don't either. Yeah, but divorce is in the Bible. I said, yeah, because the people's heart hard. That's the only reason mine ain't.
That's right.
I said, he give me a right to divorce if I harden my heart. That's it. And I'm not going to harden it. You are. So I said, you won't get a divorce from me. I said, it'll cost you a lot of money. Well, I made a quality decision, Brad. I'm not going to break it because I don't feel good. I'm not going to see. You've got to make those quality decisions and not break them. I mean, don't break it. Just don't do it. Did I feel like it? Oh, I wanted to kick her on out, throw her out, burn the car if she went. See, you can't go. A quality decision is a decision not based on feelings and emotions. Not based on anything other than the Word. Hallelujah. People told me that I would never make it in business. I've done had one give it away, $500,000 gross and growing. I believe if God spoke to him again, I could give this one away and start again and prosper again.
Amen.
But I made a quality decision that God is my source. See, we gotta make quality decisions in our lives, praise God, about healing. I'm not one bit scared of whatever the stupid last name is. I'm glad it's got a name, Omar variants or whatever. They saying just go ahead and get ready for the next one. Get your fourth shot and get 8 boosters. And you might be saved. Don't get upset with me. What are they saying? I'm not against all of that. They're trying to save lives. I'm not trying to get in no politics, but you know what? I've got a shot that worked, a shot of faith. The Bible says, take the shield of faith. Make a quality decision. Make a quality decision that COVID will not be able to come on you. That COVID, if it attacks you, will have to die. It's you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I've been around it ever since it's been here. It's floating around the air. Everybody picking their nose, getting gas, and I don't wear gloves. Come on, somebody. They go in there and use the bathroom, dribble all over everything, and you step in it. Then you pull your shoes off and put them on. There's no possible way that you can get enough protection to keep you if you're in fear. There's not enough things and gloves and all of that you can put on. I'm not against all of that. But I'm telling you, I am forefront, first place, God-minded.
Amen.
God protect me, minded. Angels are watching over me. Hallelujah. They're encamped around about you. Only if I let them be. The Bible says the angels of the Lord excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of the word of the Lord. Well, God ain't down here. We are. They marvel at us. The angels marvel at us. They're created beings. We've been given a will. And then God puts his spirit in us just like he did Jesus to go conquer COVID, to go lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to speak to them out there and they come out of that hospital. They don't go on the ventilator, hallelujah. We just seen it firsthand, hallelujah. It's probably attacked me 1,800 times. I got tested, never got my test, praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, you ever had COVID? No. Nope. Did you get tested? Yeah, sure did. Rest their mind, Brad. Just rest their mind. Whew, Scotty finally got tested. Whew, God, that boy. See, I don't care even before COVID came. See, I got the flu every year. My glands swelled up every year when it went from summer to winter and all that. And I started finding this Bible stuff in there that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. I started figuring out that sickness and disease was not of God. I started figuring out through the Bible that Jesus took stripes. How in the world would he want to put somebody? He can't got no sickness to put on nobody. And I thought, well, man, I ain't supposed to be sick. That's what the problem is around here. I'm not supposed to be sick. Jesus took stripes. See, what was happening is the Bible was renewed. And some people read it, well, you know, Jesus took them stripes. But, you know, we got to use wisdom. Don't get your butt in there. There's no winner. He says, believe my word. But if it don't work, just do something else.
Right.
Well, that's the way some people treat it. That's dangerous. That is very dangerous. You don't get the power of the word. The power. Just like the centurion, I believe, went to Jesus. He said, Lord, just speak your word. Just speak your word, and my servant will be made whole.
Right.
See, that person really believed that the word was all they needed.
Right.
They didn't need Jesus over there laying hands on them. He believed that if Jesus would speak the word, you say, well, that was Jesus. Well, who lives in you, sweetheart?
That's right, Jesus.
Don't the Bible say the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? See, we got to renew our mind to these things. We're here to finish the work that Jesus started. Jesus released his ministry in the earth by the Holy Spirit into man. And that's what when they got up after they was converted, Peter preached and 3,000 people give their heart to Jesus, man.
Hallelujah.
I mean, this is the same one that denied him right before he got converted. He wasn't converted. He wasn't born. He didn't have that bold Holy Spirit that me and you have. He didn't have it. But after that, after the day of Pentecost, he had it. He had it then. He had a force in him, but God, that changed his world. So did Paul. So that's the way Jesus was. That's the way me and you are. But you know what? This kingdom thing is a choice. This faith is a choice. This word is a choice for us to make quality decisions on because we have a destiny. What is my destiny? I don't know. Give me Jeremiah 29:11 will be a good one.
Yes.
But there's a good one. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He says the word thoughts means plans. Did you know God plans on you having a good future, a good ending to your... A young man put it on Facebook, almost 30 years old. I thought it was good. I know he's a Christian, serves the Lord, you know, and put it on there, you know, about, he said, my 20s are almost gone, and he's making plans for when it, him and his wife, for their future, you know, when the kids are gone and all that. At 30, how many of that's a good thing to be doing right now? God planned before you was here. God, the Bible says we ought to be like him. I've got plans out ahead of me. I've got plans. I'm saving money. I'm giving money. I'm laying some up. I'm getting things paid off. I plan. I plan on not living off Social Security. What if bad things happen? Bible says. See, that you got to come back with all of that unbelief stuff. Well, what if your health? Bible says my health is going to be good.
Right?
Right?
Yep.
See, we got to make quality decisions based on the Word of God. Don't the Bible say in Proverbs over there 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. Well, I believe it. I believe if I will lean on him, trust in him, and I believe there's mega money going to come to God's people. And God's people are going to be there and they're going to say, God, what would you have me to do with this, Lord? Lord, my life belongs to you, Lord. Lord, lead me and guide me. Lord, tell me. I mean, I walk around with $2,000-$3,000 in my pocket most of the time. And I say, God, are there anybody, Lord? Are there anybody that I can help, God? Are there anybody I'd buy a car for, Lord? Are there anybody, Lord? And then, I mean, there's a lot of needs out here. And if he leads me, the Bible says, Romans 8 over there, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, we can have plenty all the time and be willing. Did you know the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, charge them that are rich not to be high-minded. Well, who's he talking to? Am I ungodly people out there? No. Charge the body of Christ that are rich. See, God spoke to me one time. I said, Lord, I just keep prospering. He said, the rich get richer. Lord. He said, you're rich. He said, Jesus took on poverty that you might be made rich. He said, you got to think rich. You got to believe I can make you rich. He said, I don't have a problem with making my people rich. He said, but I do have a problem with them being high-minded and being, you know, and not asking me and seeking me on what, like they did when they didn't have. He said, I do have a problem with that. See, if we put God first, I mean, you know, it's endless what God will do in our lives.
Amen.
See, but we got to make quality decisions based on the Word of God. In our marriage, I done made it with, I told my granddaughter, she got on Tuesday night, I spent that with her. I told her, I said, baby, Papa's been thinking about something. She said, why, Papa? I said, well, Papa's going to teach you. I said, you're old enough now. I said, I'm old. Papa's fixing to, when to plant the garden this time, I said, you're going to have to help me now. You're going to have to work. I said, but Papa's going to build a little thing up there and put you a little produce stand and put a box on it where they can drop your money in it. I said, and but she, now you're going to have to come out there and help me plant it, you water it, all that. You know, I said, and then at the end, I said, we're going to take out Jesus' money. Oh, Papa, I'm not giving Jesus nothing. I got to work on her. I'm just telling you, I got to work on her. You know, I thought I got to teach her the values of life. You. I know she's six, but I want her where Travis is
right.
At 30.
Right.
You know, because he has been raised with biblical principles and independent trusting on the Lord. He never had to trust in us. He never puts pressure on me and Teresa for life. We know that we made quality decisions because we realized that he was a gift from God to us and that God had entrusted him to us to train him up in the ways of the kingdom, in the ways of God, in the Bible. Not so that he would just be a better kid, a good kid at school. No, that he would be God-minded and God-heart, God at heart, that God is everything to him and all that he needs is God. That was our purpose. That was God's plan for us. And when you make quality decisions, just like he's 15 years old, somebody pulled up the yard, Satan will always send you evidence contrary to his word. Satan will do it, even through Christians.
Yeah.
Harry Potter's okay with some Christians. I don't see no problem with it. But I see them teaching witchcraft against authority all through Harry Potter crap.
Yeah.
Junk, excuse my language. I have a problem with it. I had a problem with Pokemon. Travis never had none of it. I had a problem with Sabrina the Witch or whatever it is. He never watched none of that stuff. Witchcraft. We might have been a little bit overboard, but I'd rather be a little overboard than under.
That's right.
I'd rather be just a little bit over. I don't even like the word religious because I've never been that way.
Right.
I've never been religious. I've been around some mean ones though. Religious people, they ain't got no compassion at all, boys. They're just like a whip. They'll try to straighten you out, but they're all crooked themselves. I mean, they don't cut you no slack. But we gotta make quality decisions. Give me that Deuteronomy 11, Beth, please. Let's look at some scripture. Therefore shall you lay up these words in my heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates with it. That your days, look, he's giving us why. He's telling them why he's telling them to do this with the word. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore your fathers to give them, as the days of what?
Heaven on
earth. God was telling him, take the word, get my word, put it on your doorpost. I like to say it today, have it on your TV, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your mirror in there in the bathroom when you're brushing your teeth, put it on your dash, put it on, and meditate on it, say it out of your mouth. That's what God told Joshua. Teresa brought it out a little bit this morning. Joshua's got a big task, and I can just imagine, you know, that Joshua was in fear, maybe. You know, I can't do this big job that I'm having to take over for Moses. And I know God knew all of that. And God tells him, he said, meditate on my word day and night. He said, then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, did they write that wrong in there, Lord? That you said he would make his way prosperous. I said, Lord, I thought you would make him prosperous. Not he would make his way prosperous. And God, you know what God said to me? He said, but I was with him. He said, that's why I told him that. He said, he knew I was with him. They loved me. He said, and now I'm in y'all. I thought, oh, yeah. He said, now you take that word. He said, you take that word, he said, and you will make your way prosperous. I know that don't sound, but that's what the Bible says, right? God told me, he said, why that will happen, he says, you will begin to do things my way. You will begin to react to things my way. You will begin to speak and think my way. He said, my way is the highway. He said, my way of doing and being will prosper you. It'll keep you healed. It'll keep your marriage. You'll have a good... Travis has never one time raised his voice to me. Man, that's utter.
Yes.
He's 30. Almost. I'll give you a few more days. It ain't because he's afraid of me. He better be afraid of me, but that ain't why. I didn't even teach him how to fight. He better know that I can whip him. But God, I know how to fight. He don't. I mean, I can whack his leg right out from under him. I still think I can jump up with one leg and lock it around and throw him on the ground. I always like taking him down. So he better respect me. But that ain't why. I'm being funny there. You know why I believe that he respects me? Because he knows I know God. He's seen me pray at home and fast at home. He's seen me do wrong and apologize to him. He's seen me make wrong choices and make it right. He's seen me get unruly with customers in front of him and apologize to him and tell him that was not godly. He's seen me repent before the Lord and repent in the natural. Repent means we change. Not that we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Nothing wrong with that. I told him this morning, I said, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, that I really don't spend enough time with you like I ought to, Lord. Lord, forgive me of my shortcomings, Lord, right now, Lord, that it won't hinder the service today at church, Lord. Because, see, I realized that my actions outside the church can hinder him in the church. Your actions outside the church, it's not because I'm a preacher. You know, I mean, God will come through the messenger in spite of the messenger. That don't mean the messenger straightened out. But God loves you so much that he will use the gift to get things to you, although the messenger's not quite up yet. In spite of me, God uses that gift. In spite of you. Well, see, we don't want to hinder the Lord from doing what he wants anytime he wants to in our lives. And we do that by making quality decisions based on the word of God. Well, Papa and them said, well, I don't care what Papa and them said. My family says a lot that's not based on that Bible that makes sense to them. And that's fine. But I don't want my common sense. I used it for 27 years and my life was shipwrecked. Now I've used it for 20, almost 27, 28 years. I'm way better off, Bradley, today than I was at 27. I told Travis, I said, son, if you keep going the way you're going, see, it's godly to save money. You might think it's not godly, but it is. It's God's will that you save money. It is godly. It's ungodly for my flesh to be out of control and just spending everything and keeping my family in financial hardship. That is ungodly. Now, I'm not saying you're struggling financially that you're ungodly. I'm not saying that at all. But pray and ask the Lord, what's going on here, Lord? Help me. I remember on my knees more than once saying, God, I got us in a financial bind, God. I let my flesh get wild with me. I'm thinking, Lord, that I needed this for business and all of that, Lord, and had those dreams that was not your dreams, God, and made wrong choices. I remember the last time I'm on my knees. It wasn't the first time, but I'm on my knees. And I've got us so deep in debt at that time that I'm telling you, Teresa was just in turmoil all the time, trying to figure out which bill to pay was the most necessary bill, because there wasn't enough money to pay them all because of me. So I got down and I said, God, I said, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry, Lord, and with your help, God, help me out of this. Help me out of this, Lord. Show me what to do. See, what God was doing, he had brought me to my knees by letting me do what I wanted to do, and the pressure of it brought me to my knees to bow like I should have been doing to start with, and I wouldn't have been in that mess. But now, if my heart is really real and right with him, he's going to make a way for me, because the Bible says that for we know that God works all things together for the good. See, now that decision was based on the Bible there. And you know what? I went and I got up and I said, I just receive it right now, Lord. I didn't feel it, but I believed that God was going to help me get us where we didn't struggle financially. But I knew that I had to make different choices. See, believing God for things to happen and making the same choice about everything is that's not even music, God is saying. That's what insanity is. Doing the same thing, expecting different results. That's insanity. That's what they call insane people do. And so anyways, wasn't long after that, I'm going up the road and God said, sell this truck. Not this truck. Man, it was four-wheel drive, diesel, four-door, four-wheel, five-speed. I mean, it was everything I wanted. It was, the truck. Lord said, sell this truck. I thought I'm going to go there and drive that S10. Oh, I'm going to look mad now. Big businessman. He's down there in the S10. Having to push his way to Jasper and back. Wanting to climb your heels. So I go in there, walk in. I said, okay, Lord, whatever you say, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding this time. God, I ask you to help me out. And this is what you want, sir. You know what's best for me. You've got better for me, Lord. And so I go into the parts house, and I sat there, and Willie Marsh's wife over there, she looked at me and said, Willie's looking for a truck. I said, I got one. She said, he's wanting a diesel. I said, I got one. She said, he's wanting four-wheel drive. I said, I got it. She said, he's wanting five speed. I said, that's what I got. I said, I bet you he wants a gray one, don't he? Oh, yeah, he did mention gray. I said, it's sitting right out there. I brought it to him. I picked up a phone, called the bank. I said, how much money I want that truck? They told me how much money I owed. And then she called him, he come down there. He said, what you got to have for that? I said, ain't what I got to have, it's what I'm going to get. I told him exactly, I wasn't even going to want to make that. And I felt like, don't mess a miracle up. Just don't mess a miracle up. So I gave him the exact amount that I owed on the truck. And he said, I'll take it. I said, pay me. I went and paid the truck off. And it brought that payment down $500 instantly. I was $500 a month richer. Yeah. Instantly. And then God, why I'm telling you this, I'm not just telling you my story here. I'm telling you that if we make quality decisions to do the will of God, make a quality decision that you and me are going to do the will of God. Whatever you know the will of God is for you. I don't know what the will of God is for you. I don't know the full will of God for you, and you don't know it for me, but God knows his plan. God knows it. God knows where he's wanting to take each one of us. He knows what our destiny is. He knows what the end that he has planned for us. But it's good. We just read it. But we've got to take it. He was telling them, take my word. Teach it. Write it on your doorpost. In other words, he was saying, you've got to renew your mind to the word of God. What I have said, because what I have said is tried and settled in the heavens. And then he tells us, we can as the days of heaven on earth. You know, I'm experiencing some of it. Sitting over there the other day, I told Teresa, I said, I'm living the dream. She looked at me, Mike. I said, I believe for you. I know it's hard for some of y'all to believe. Y'all wouldn't, but I did. She's a blunt woman. She's a straight up woman. She's not a mean woman. She's not. She may appear that way, but she's a really good hearted woman. I mean, she would give you, she won't loan you nothing. But she'll give you stuff. She just won't loan you a lawnmower or nothing. Well, she don't even let me use it. I go buy my own lawnmowers. Because I break the switches off and, you know, rig them. I like to rig stuff. Everything I got rigged. I went to carry it back over, let the D use it for a little while. I had some stuff rigged on it. I thought, man. So I went up there and unrigged it. I had a start system and a kill system. And I guarantee you, nobody crank it at me. So I went, you know, fixed it where she wouldn't have a system. She couldn't start it. Praise God. But you know what? We got to make quality decisions. And the Word of God's it. And we can't get all religious minded when I've been in the Word for 40 years. Yeah, but there's new things by the Spirit of God that'll come to us after 80 years. There's fresh manna from heaven. You know, John 3:16 can feed you all your life if that's what God's speaking when you read it. Oh, I got to go get done. Oh, look at him. Look at him. Oh, for God so loved me, he gave. Oh, he's going to take care of my car. He loved me. He's going to take care of my house. He loved me. He's going to teach me how to be a good steward. He loves me. I mean, you can see that in there, the whole amount of life in John 3:16. Oh, he's going to take care of college for my kids. He loves me. He's going to take care of the ministry. He loved me. There's a lot of people don't want to do ministry now because they got to study.
Yeah.
Told the guy one time, I said, well, we'll pray about it. Let's pray about that. And he said, has it come to that? I'm thinking, what? Are you a Christian, man? Yeah. And he's asked him if it's come to praying about it. I'm thinking, he's not a Christian, probably. That's why everything's destroying you. But how many knows we create things, godly things in our future? See, if we speak fear, doubt, and unbelief, and told Teresa, she was in her kitchen, I'll close, man. We got a little truck in there. In her, and I'd been attacked something, you know, and she's over there. And I went in the kitchen, she went, what do you do, get the raid? And I told her, I said, listen to me. I said, you can get overboard. You know what I mean by that? If you operate in fear, you're overboard.
Yeah.
You done jumped over the board. I'm not coming out there swimming in that with you. Whether you my wife, you my brother, you my friend, I'm not gonna get out of the boat of faith. I'm just not gonna get out because I don't like them waters, you see. I don't like it. Peter proved it when he walked on. Jesus told him, come. Just on the word. He got out on that word. The word that had come out of Jesus' mouth. He responded to that word and walked on the water. I tried to walk on it one time, Bradley, I saw. I really did. I thought, well, fuck God, he did it. The only difference between me and him is he told him he could. And he ain't told me to. If he told me, Scotty, go out there and walk on the water, I promise you I would get my camera out and I'd go, what's this, guys? Y'all would think it's froze over down here in Alabama and it's 97 because I'd be walking on the water. That's how confident I am that God can do that.
Right.
I'm telling you, whatever God is speaking to me and you, there is power of the kingdom of God to back it up, to see the thing through, to bring us through, glory to God, with victory. The Bible says he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means he always leads us to victory. I studied it a little bit. It said he leads us to victory. I said, oh, that's why a lot of us ain't got it, ain't it, Lord? Because we confess the word, you know, God always causes us to triumph. But that ain't really what it says. Break it down. Go look at it. Study it. It said he leads me. He led me to sell the truck. Then you know what? He led me to believe without going to the bank. I told Trish, I was like, God told me. My truck's debt free. I'll never get another one. That's the way I felt, Brad. I couldn't see that. That's where faith comes in, when you can't see it. When God's speaking to you to do something, you go out and you convince yourself by your saying and your thinking, glory to God, I can have it all. That's what the Lord told me right in the middle of it when I couldn't afford nothing. He said, you can have it all. And I thought, I can have it all. It's all going around. Somebody say something, I can have it all. What, all? What, all? They're like, Scotty's crazy, man. Yeah, what could you have? All? Where do you get that out of the Bible? All things are possible to those that believe. So they got it out of the Bible. You don't want to say God told you. But some of them, they're like, God told him. Oh, it's always God telling him. Well, what's wrong with you? You ain't let him tell you nothing. I believe if we'll seek the Lord about our marriage, he'll tell us something. I believe if we'll ask him to help us to be good stewards, he'll teach us how to quit blowing money. I believe if we want to know, he'll do it. I believe he'll empower us. Make that quality decision, praise God. You know what? I've got more money right now than I've ever had in my life, praise God. I'm not afraid to tell you. I was broke at 27 years old. When I give my heart to Jesus and bless God, and you know, people say, well, Scotty bragging about that money. Well, they ain't told you the 40 cars I've given away. They ain't told you the house, the land. They ain't told you the jet skis. They ain't told you the boats. They ain't told you the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that I've given. They ain't told you all that. They ain't told you that he went in that Bible, found out, give, then it would be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over, and make quality decisions, and sacrifice before he got to there. See, it ain't because God just favors somebody. It's because some of us, this church, and all those that are listening, I'm believing, takes the word of God and said, God, I'm going to be a doer of it, God. God, I'm not going to just hear it. I just don't want to be just satisfied being a Christian, God. God, I want to do the supernatural. I want to have the supernatural working in my life all the time. I want it working in my kids. I want it working in my grandkids. I want it working in my friends, Lord. I want it working. Travis asked me one time, he knew he was in a bad financial bind, and I went to the Lord. I wanted a wood heater. I didn't have the money to buy a wood heater. You know, and I went to the Lord, and at that time I was behind on everything that I owned, and couldn't get caught up. And I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, what do you, I need a heater, Lord. You said, I have not called to ask not. And he said, well, go get you one. I said, well, Lord, they probably ain't going to let me get one on the credit. He said, I said, go get you one. Went down there. Travis knew what everything. I come back with a new heater. Travis, he said, Dad, how did you do it? I said, I didn't. I said, I obeyed the Lord. I'm three months behind on my truck, and I'm going to close this for free. I'm three months. You got to have the word in there, man. That God, see, the word builds up a knowing of God's faithfulness to you. It builds it. Yeah? The Lord told me, he said, I want you to buy you a truck. And I said, Lord, I'm behind on everything. I'm 3 months behind on everything, Lord. He wouldn't speak to me. He said, buy you a truck. So I told Travis, I said, well, buy me a truck. So he finds one. We go look at it and blah, blah, blah. I told them what to give for it, what they wanted for it. Got all that settled. I picked up the phone, called the bank. And I said, I got this truck. Travis is with me. I got this truck, and I'm on the phone. And then I said, I need to give you the number on this truck right here. And she pulled up my account and everything. She said, you're behind on your house. I said, I know. You're behind on everything, it looks like. I said, yeah, I know. Yeah, well, you're going to get it caught up, ain't you? I said, yeah, I am. She said, well, okay, just send me the title. I'm pretty much behind on everything, Brad. See, the word of the Lord don't matter. Wherever you are, he makes things happen that nothing in the natural will work for you but that. And I mean, then he leads us and guides us and tells us to do the things that ain't going to happen most of the time in the natural. But we step out. But if you ain't got confidence, you won't step out. You won't do it, praise God. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we do.